The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here. I analyze this. Of course, you know, it's Monday, so we got the table talk. So we come back and do a quorum call in a little bit. But tonight, some programming notes for Channel 12, the flagship. Of course, you know, without Channel 12, we wouldn't have NPR radio and our online capabilities. The PBS News Hour starts it off at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Then we got the bookcase with Shauna Richards from 8 to 8:30. PBS Art Talks from 8:30 to 9. Antique Roadshow from 9 to 10, explore fascinating finds in Louisiana, right? And then we got two-hour edition of Independent Lens, follow the people dealing with economic uncertainty and the healthcare crisis in rural America, right? That's from 10 to midnight. Then, of course, our important company picks it up at midnight. Okay, so PBS News Hour at 7, Bookcase at 8, PBS Art Talks at 8:30, Antiques Roadshow at 9, Independent Lens at 10 for 2 hours, and then I'm in poor company. Let me do a quorum call here. Armando Rocky Lightwood from the beautiful island, Love City, St. John. Good morning, sir. Glad to have you on.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Ronnie, and good morning to the listening audience.
And for those who are listening and may not know, Armando Rocky Lightwood served in the Virgin Islands Legislature as an at-large senator for 16 years and was twice the Senate President in 1995, 1996, and 2001 and 2002. Also joining me from the Big Island, Rana Russell, originally from the West, but now hanging out in on our north side of the island. He was a four-term senator and was Senate President in 2011 and 12. Good morning, Senator Russell. How are you?
Good morning, Neville, the greatest talk show host in St. Croix and in St. Thomas. And it's a pleasure to be part of your wonderful show, because you know something? It reaches a lot of people, and we really analyze the issues with a nice, nice host that understands the issues, okay?
Thank you very much for those kind words, my brother. And
no, they ain't kind alone, because you know something? You don't do the research.
You got to do it, Manny. You got to do it, man. You got to do it, man.
And other talk shows don't do the research. Just talk off the top of the head.
No, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the work, man. And you got to be factual. And I think I think one of the things that, and by the way, quickly, the handle Donald Duck's call is on assignment. So we have recorded him as excuse. But the reason why I'm forced to do that, Ronnie, and Rocky, you know this more than any one of us, being a territorial senator, amass more votes in the history of Virgin Islands politics than probably anybody. We have been victims, not we alone. Elected officials have been victims of a lot of unfounded statements, some of them bordering on slander. And part of the problem is radio talk show hosts over the years, Rocky, been encouraging people to just say things willy-nilly and that are not true. And then the public is gullible, and they believe it, and then they fall for it, and then they find out down the road, wait a minute, what a man was saying about a man ain't not true, Rocky. You know what I'm saying? So I, as a former member of the legislature, you know, cause between us, we got 36 years, man. You know what I'm saying? It's been between the three of us, you know, we say 16 and 12 and 28, yeah, and 8, 36, and then with Ducks, another 6, 42. We got 42 years of legislative service. And Rocky, I'm going to let each of you comment on this, because I will never run from this topic. We owe it to the Virgin Islands to make sure that we don't promote the same thing that we were penalized from back in the day.
That's right. Well, let me say this, Neville and Ronnie. Ronnie just made a statement that's so true. The fact is that over the years, if you listen to the talk show hosts, many of them know the truth.
Yes,
know
sir.
What people are saying are wrong, but will not correct it. I had experience with that myself, personally. I had a guy on a radio station in St. Croix, perpetuating, as they call it, a big lie. You remember the time when I was had those green cards became the topic of...
Yes, sir.
You remember that?
Yes.
All I was doing was best practice for the standardized fleet. That's the whole thing. Who it was? The Inspector General had said to us that you can't be having a car, every brand of car, and then you have no way to repair them. So you got to spend all this money repairing. So you need to standardize your fleet, have some kind of maintenance program so it could last a good 4 or 5 years, and then you could turn them in afterwards. That's all I did. But what happened is that all people were so gullible to craziness is that I brought all the information to our talk show host. I brought the documents. I brought everything, the invoice, everything there so that you could see. You know what talk show host tell me? Yeah, this is, I see it here, but the people them think something else. I see them used to correct them. Oh, no, we got to let them talk because our talk show host at the time believe in just getting people calling in, not correcting them, not telling them the truth. And never what you use, the things that you do, and you go beyond it, is that you come with a, besides, you know, slouch. That's the other thing.
Well, you know something, right? Every senator had something that allowed for them to be a force, right? In the legislature, there's something about everybody's character, right? And one thing I used to like to do is I like researching, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew from a young age I like to argue, you check, and arguing opinions is one thing, right? Arguing facts, that's a whole different ballgame. You check?
That's a different story, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So I learned as somebody who like, and I was big on stats from when I was young. So if you're going to come with the stats, don't come with, I believe he averaging 22 points when in fact he might have been averaging 26. You know what I mean?
From your stature, Neville. Some of the things that you tell me about myself, I never knew.
for instance, what I like to mention, you probably get more votes than anybody else. Rocky, right? You've been in like 10 elections, I believe, right? Plus, you ran on a gubernatorial ticket election, right?
Yeah.
So when you do the math, right? Over a territorial race, right? So there were years when the at-large race gets maybe 1,000 or 2,000 votes less or even the same as the gubernatorial winner because it's a territorial race. You check what I'm saying?
That's right.
So when you're doing this every 2 years, gubernatorial elections are every 4 years, just logic alone will let you know that when you do that math, you get well over 100,000 votes in your career. Because there were years when to win that large seat, you go get 14, 15, 16,000.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So just logic and application, and you know, that's what is important. By the way, Ronnie, I just pull up a nice photo here of Adrian Durant, man. And he's with the Harvard track team, and it's nice, man. This is a nice story, man.
Yeah, it's a very, very good story too.
Yeah, that's what you do, Neville.
Young people.
What you do?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now, man, and they talk about the different athletes, and one of his athletes was a young man from Spain named Bruno Hortelano Roig, right? And unfortunately, he got in a car accident, but he broke several school and league records as a member of the Cornell track and field team and holds a school record for 60-meter, 200-meter, 400-meter indoor and 200-meter and 400-meter outdoor. They got another one there, Rudy Winkler, Austin Jamerson, Perry McKinnon. The list goes on and on. So, again, Virgin Islands impact, man. Can't deny it. It's global and regional and hemispherical and all kind of how.
Yeah, and let me not get off this topic because one of the few things that you do is you know how to correct people without getting them upset.
No, we don't have to do that. Yeah.
And without getting engaged. And that's a skill that I attribute to you because I know you. And that skill is very important when you're hosting a show.
But there's no need to embarrass or hurt somebody's feelings.
Exactly.
You don't have to do that anymore, man. That's for when we were young and combative and all that stuff. Yo, Rocky, your boy up there with Iron Owen. Your boy in his 60s now. I ain't 35 or 40 no more and trying to... And then with the Iron Owen, we're coming to come. You check? So we go... Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, let's shift this thing quickly. What happened in Moscow was unfortunate. Randy Russell, man. You know what I'm saying? Apparently ISIS taking credit for it. But the world is at war. And you know, Ronnie, I'm sorry, but this George Floyd thing from 4 years ago, remember all of those protests we were hearing? It was because of people complaining about too many have-nots, right? Right?
Yes.
And the haves continuing to shrink. And when that distribution of wealth issue, John Abramson explained it to me, that distribution of wealth issue becomes... people become more knowledgeable of how much advantage they're taking of people, and how leaders of countries are using the media to manipulate what's really going on, and in many instances mask some of the things that they're doing. That's how you end up with problems like this, Ronnie.
Absolutely. And you know, the distribution of wealth in Russia is starkly different between the people and the oligarchy that continues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's happening in the U.S. too, you know?
Yeah,
and
man.
It's happening right here on our island, you know? Part of the reason why we're very litigious is people see the way to get started even by filing a lawsuit. And, you know, we are very litigious here. And America is very litigious, and what happens is people try to balance the corporate structure with them getting money from filing a lawsuit. And you can't do it in Russia. They're going to just kill you. So them resorting to violence and everything is terrible. But you don't know the kind of things that those people... are subject to. We don't have that kind of totalitarian government, so we don't really know. But it's sad all around. People killing senselessly, and it's happening all over the globe at an alarming rate. And I, as long as it don't reach here, because it's really bad. We have our own problems with young people committing crimes, but it ain't like that. So let me say thank God we ain't have it here, my son, because... it's happening in a lot of places. Mass murders, man. People going in and just killing people that have nothing to do with their life. Killing.
And then, Rocky, the thing about these incidents, right, is when you first hear about it, they just say, we know of 15 or 20 people dead. And then before you know it, that number just keeps growing exponentially, Rocky. I think that number is over 100 now, right?
It's over 100, yeah.
Wow.
It's over 100. The last time I heard it, over 120, you know, the last time I heard it. But, you know, and then they had over 140 wounded, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really...
And they got to live with that trauma for the rest of their lives, you know.
Yeah, and I look at that, and I listen to what Ronnie's saying and about the litigants and how that's going. But I also think that those people who they don't have access to do that, this is what it takes up. They take up my arm, and they say, well, I can't go out and do all of this. So this is what, and I think that it's unfortunate, but I think they're sending a message to Putin. They're sending my message and say, look, you're going out with all kind of stuff here, but we here aren't happy about what's going on in this place and don't think that you are any exception to the world. And so while they talk about America and all those places going through that, no one would ever thought that it was going to happen in Russia like that. Nobody. They never thought it was going to operate like that. And so, as bad as it is, it's a message, it's a warning. And Ronnie, I hear you talking about the GI and not happening here, but, you know, if what's going on and people see that our people who are in charge running this place are not sensitive to the behavior of the plight of the general population, don't be surprised.
Things yeah, happen.
But check this out. But check this out, right? It's like the same MO with what took place down in Israel back in October with Hamas,
yep.
Right? A concert, I think it was a festival that was taking place back in October. Now this was a concert hall on Friday. You check what I'm saying? And apparently, Rocky and Rani, 137 people dead and wounded at least 140. So we talking, including three children, right, who were killed. So we're looking at close to 280 people, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
They look maximum effect, making a statement.
Yeah, man.
You know.
Yeah. And then the blame game now where Putin is blaming Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because he invaded Ukraine, so now the logical thing is, well, see, they're coming after us now because we've been going after them, and Ukraine saying we ain't got nothing to do with that. And ISIS actually taking credit for it, yet he wants the propaganda thing, the media manipulation thing, not as Ukraine do it. So right. Now he needs further justification for doing what he's doing, right? And then that impacting the price of goods for us here in this part of the world. Even though people have problem, you'd be surprised, Rani, how people have a hard time believing something that's happening on the other side of the world could impact us here. Yo, the supply chain is global, man, Rani.
That's right.
And Rocky, you know what I mean? We have an obligation to educate the public as to how things that may not be around the corner are impacting us here locally.
Well, and our price of gas going up.
Price of gas going back up again. And this time of year, right?
Where
more people driving, so you know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Demand. And if you ain't got a supply, price going to go up.
Yep.
Hey, don't gobble with 20 cents already.
You got, what is it in Georgia now per gallon?
I'm going to tell you, it just gone up over 20 cents now. $3.30 for premium.
Wow. But that's but that goes to show how volume could help you, because the price of gasoline in St. John is what, $5 a gallon?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Man.
So, yeah,
at four and change on average in St. Thomas and $4 here. So, wow. Yeah. Again.
And you all said cheaper than everybody else.
Yeah. And it's still $3.50 more than it should have been for a lot of years. We were manufacturing it in our backyard for decades.
That's right.
Look now, the amount of money they owe us, right? Rightfully and legally.
Yeah.
Based on market price, when I use rightfully and legally as it relates to where it was, that's in the billions, man. That's in the billions. The amount of money that we had to spend, you know, over the years wrongfully, that's unfortunate. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Rodney, we're going to your field now. President Trump got a deadline.
He'll
pay that money to them, and we're going to find out. We'll talk a little bit about how that is applied and all that stuff. We'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
We're back here on the Lazy Sister Table Talk. It is Monday, March 25th, 2024. And we got Rocky Labor joining us. He is a senator from the island of St. John. At large, Senator Rodney Russell from St. Croix. You know, over the last month, we've heard of the penalties and the fines that the judge imposed. I think that's the right terminology, right, Rodney? That's a proper term, right? On former President Trump. So we know of the big figure, the $354,868,776, and then they got interest, and then they got another application if you want to file an appeal. So Rodney, I'll come to you on that. But Rocky and to the audience, I want to explain how the judge arrived at this figure. Right?
Yes.
I think we owe the public, because they know of this big number, this $250 million, and then when you add on the interest and then the amount he has to pay, the 120% he has to pay if he wants to float a bond to appeal. So here is how the judge arrived at this number, and then we could break it down from there. We could analyze this at that particular point, right? Judge Engoron found that Trump benefited from ill-gotten gains in three major categories, including the sale of the government lease for the former Trump International Hotel at the historic old post office in Washington, sale of his rights to operate the Ferry Point Golf Course in New York City, and interest savings that Trump obtained by portraying himself as less of a financial risk than he was. And Rania, I'm going to lean on you for that one there, right? For the old post office, Engoron said Trump profits from the 2021 sale amounted to $126,828,600, and that the Trump family would not have gotten the lease and operational rights to that hotel, which hosted dignitaries and fundraisers during Trump's presidency, had it not provided false information to the Government Services Administration, that's the GSA, in the bidding process, by presenting the federal agency with a steeply inflated picture of Trump's finances. He unfairly obtained the lucrative contract ahead of other candidates, according to the New York Attorney General. Trump also owes $168,040,168 to cover savings he obtained in reduced interest rates by committing fraud, and he owes another $60 million in profits for the sale of the lease and management rights to the Ferry Point Golf Course in New York City. Another contract that Engoron found Trump organization obtained through deception. Trump and the other defendants have been liable of deliberately using inconsistent and misleading tactics, like tripling the size of Trump's Fifth Avenue penthouse apartment to report an increased value to magnify the overall financial worth to outside parties who relied on it to assess terms of loans and other business deals. So, Rodney, I want to come to you with this. Let me go back to this first one, right, where he obtained the a lease, a government lease, with the where he had the Trump International Hotel at the historic old post office in Washington. Apparently, this got a federal component to it because he provided false information to the Government Services Administration in the bidding process. So, Ronnie, speak a little bit about when you commit that kind of fraud. In other words, you sign a document and knowingly signing that document to obtain a lease or to obtain a property, and then you sell it afterward. The government got the ability to come back for all of the profits on that sale, Ronnie?
Yes, because it was fraudulently conveyed. And fraudulently, you know, appraisal is a funny thing.
Appraisal, okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, appraisal.
Yeah, because that's where that's the epicenter of this whole discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you replacement value, your market price, the appraisal supposed to take everything into account. And when these government services agencies, they have the best people working for them because they're the federal government. They could hire the people that know the marketplace, know the replacement value, know the historical value. And when they bring the court case, they bring in experts that know this, and they prove Trump to be a fraud regarding his bidding process and also the sale. And so when the judge make a finding like that, it's based on solid information. They analyze the information, and that is what Trump is facing. He is facing the fact that he committed a fraud on the people of the United States by using the process to his advantage and faking a lot of stuff and, putting the bid at a wrong level of attention in terms of how much money he's going to get and pay for these things. So,
Rocky had a question for Randy then?
Yeah, I have a question for him because I'm not clear as to isn't there some type of a recourse or some type of a inquiry as to a person who would bid on something or do an appraiser? Isn't there someone who verifies that your numbers are accurate before consummation of the deal? Or how does that work?
Well, you set up the bidding process includes giving everybody a fair chance to bid. Okay? And
hold on, before, let me just say this. Okay, so you do all of that. So isn't there, so how come it comes to the stage now where he is old and they caught him doing all these things? There is no due diligence in the process that allows for you to find your information before it gets to this stage?
So basically, you asking, right, in order to be eligible to bid on this thing, we need to see your documentation before you become a part of the process.
Right. And so what happens now that I give you all of this and you accept it, so you can't come back to me asking for nothing?
No, that's a legitimate question, Rocky. But here's the real question, right? When he went to the banks and told the banks, this is my value, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the banks accepted it, right? They're starting to question now, wait a minute, maybe the banks were in on this with him.
Yeah.
Right? Because last year, the Deutsche Bank, and I'm glad you asked that question. That's why you don't analyze this one, because you're sharp. You're not dummy. Right? One of the things that Deutsche Bank had a problem with was last year, right? The same Deutsche Bank that he went to and that they were claiming that he abused, right? They were fined. And I got an article right here. It's a New York Times article from July 19, 2023. The Federal Reserve imposed a $186 million fine on Deutsche Bank, saying it moved too slowly to fix problems with the bank's money laundering controls that the bank regulator flagged in 2015 and 2017, right? So in other words, right, they flagged something in 2015. They find out something from 8 and 6 years ago. Oh, no, 9 and 7 years ago. Or actually, it would be 8 and 6 from 2023. And the banks did nothing. So they knew, right? They knew that the banks were allowing this game to the same haves and not the have-nots over the years. And the banks did nothing, so they fined them $186 million for not addressing that problem. And what the Trump case has exposed is that if you have clout, you could get away with a lot of things, as opposed to the Liebards, Russells, and James, and the audience for analysis of the world who don't have that clout. Right. And when they go to the bank, they can remember now, and Rania, I want you to speak to this. It was the interest rates and lower insurance premiums that's led to this case coming to trial, right?
Absolutely. And Rocky, the banks and people of money usually don't take a deep dive into your documents, into the what is necessary. They don't hold people with money accountable the same way.
The only people like us.
So when the dust will settle, somebody had to take a deep dive into Trump financial dealings and say, wait, no, something wrong with this. And unless somebody did it in one of these agencies, he would get away with doing wrong stuff financially, because the financial markets are set up to accommodate rich people to make more money. And that is where somebody in the agency have to say, wait a second here, something is wrong with this. And unless somebody in the agencies that were dealing with the Trump financial dealings does it, he get away with it.
Yeah.
And the banks will get away with a lot of stuff.
By the way, gentlemen, I got a quick announcement for St. John. I just hear, right? They say, due to a shortage of mass transit operators, Vitran fixed route services for St. John will be suspended this morning. Fixed route services will resume at 1 p.m. ADA paratransit services will be available for certified passengers as scheduled. The department appreciates the community's patience and understanding. Visit VitranVI.com. For more information on routes. Okay, so in St. John, for the fixed route services for St. John, they'll be suspended this morning due to a shortage of operators, but the fixed route services will resume at 1 p.m. Thank you very much, Marisol and Tanya, for sending me this, so we let them know what's going on in St. John. But getting back to this particular topic, when you inflate your value, and Rocky, I want you to respond to this. If you go into a bank, Rocky, right, and your actual value is $100 million, and you want to borrow, let's say you want to borrow $12 million, right? Then the bank knows, right, that, you know what, he could pay off the monthly or the twice a year, right?
The premium,
right? Because he got a kind of backing, right? But if you walk into the bank and you own a lot of property, you ain't got that kind of money. You ain't got $100 million, but you got property that may be worth $35, $40 million. And you tell the bank, well, my property worth $100 million, right? That going to impact the interest rates that they're going to make available to you, right?
Right.
So what it's saying is he knowingly inflated the values of his properties. And as a result, he got awesome interest rates and lower insurance premiums. Right,
and
as a result of that, when your partner, your friend, walk into the bank, and he only got net worth for $600,000, his interest rate gonna be higher,
and he might get it.
and he mightn't get it. And that's the next thing, though. Availability of cash and the bank's part, the loan.
You know, Neville, this is what caused the meltdown when Obama came in. Banks and the financial market was doing wrong to the people.
For years.
For years. And so regulation is what prevents this. And how you craft those regulatory measures is what is supposed to protect the people. Apparently, Trump was a free hand, especially in New York, because he was a big name. And so nobody took a deep dive into his financial stuff until this prosecutor said, wait, no, man, I got to check into his financial deals. They researched it. That's part of the problem, Neville and Rocky, that it's a two-tier system. You got a lot of money, nobody don't check nothing. You are regular person like us to check everything.
I can see that, Russell. But I never used to say something that's right. I recall, and this I could tell you personally, because I know from going to the bank, I used to go to the bank regular for a lot of stuff, trying to build a house. And a lot of times my stuff would come up where they go through this thing called a debt ratio.
Debt ratio, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And they tell you, if your debt ratio, most of the time mine was out below. Right? So you they tell you, man, you don't make enough to cover this. At the time, or the teacher wasn't making no money, interest rates were high. But you know what saved us? In this, just like how Ronnie is talking that's on the bank, looks on the way, in the Virgin Islands, is because of people who kind of look another way too, you know, different, you know, those people who had a sense of Virgin Islanders and a pride of Virgin Island people. And I could name one of the guys in particular, McDean.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy that was responsible. Once you know you are local and you're committed to what you're doing and you have a decent job, even though that ratio may be like 1 or 2% below, you know, it will carry much more than that, though. You know, it's like that. He was saying, listen, man, I know you ain't going nowhere. I know you're going to get your house built, so you will get it. So it's in reverse. But you know why we don't have that kind of thing no more? Because we ain't nobody in the bank of care because no more. Nobody ain't nobody to go to.
You ain't lying, my son.
No, I ain't nobody to go to. So the opportunity is because the money we make, there hasn't been a whole lot of money, but those people who lived in community know about who.
Well, we have some Virgin Islanders who are very sensitive to folks who live here and want to get into development. The problem is all of our banks are headquartered in Puerto Rico.
I know that.
And as a result of that, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of...
But that's not a problem, Neville.
No. If, in fact, we don't have the McBeans of the world right now, we got the Orin Robux, the Christiana Williams of the world. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
That make us viable, keeping us viable, right? But on the surface, you touch on a good point. There has to be a discretion dynamic that you're talking about, right? That is not in play. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more about this, and also look forward to the Carnival and the Easter week as well. Be back right after this.
Said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this. The Claude Marco pre-K to 8 school on St. Croix is currently under lockdown. School officials have activated safety protocols and the Virgin Islands Police Department is present on campus. Parents and guardians are kindly requested not to come to the campus at this time as the area is secured while the matter is under investigation. An update will be provided once the all clear is given by the VIPD. So the Claude Marco pre-K to 8 school and St. Croix is currently under lockdown. Parents and guardians are kindly requested not to come to the campus at this time. You see, Rocky and Rani, good morning once again. These type of thing never happen when we are going to school, man. This is wild, man.
Yeah, man.
This is wild, man. Pre-K to 8, Rani?
You see, maybe we speak too fast.
I called a former employee. I called an employee who worked there, and she doesn't work there anymore. She worked at Alfredo, and she said she spoke to a teacher. Apparently, somebody texted a student and threatened them and all kind of stuff. They're gonna shoot up wherever they're gonna shoot up down there. I mean, junior high school, man.
Yeah,
wow.
Okay.
Wow. Well, the good thing is the VIPD is there, and you know they're securing the premises, and you know we're asking everybody, right? Please talk to your children, let them know that this type of extreme behavior benefits nobody, at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's all we call ask for. You know, just quickly to follow up on this thing, right? Couple of things has come out of this matter with the Trump situation.
Yes.
Number one, if you inflated your value, right, and you got all these benefits, right, one of the arguments that Trump has made is that everybody made money off of the deal. That's not how it works, right? Now that's like saying Ida on Santa Elena Road, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I drive in, because you know it's a straight shot from the time you reach, from the time you turn by Strawberry to head west, Rani, right?
Yes.
From there, it's a straight shot all the way down to Annie Remsen Corner, right? And they got no more stoplights on the way. So if I drive 80 miles an hour, right, on Santa Elena Road, ain't stop for no stoplight because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and because nobody got hurt, that means it should be all right. That's crazy.
Yeah, we are.
It can't be all right. So this notion that, well, I made money, the banks made money, so why are you complaining? Why are you coming after me? There's a reason why we have the Office of Banking and Insurance in every jurisdiction in America, because you got to regulate activity.
Yeah. Right? The problem, Neville, is that people who believe in a totalitarian government do not believe in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they in charge, whatever they say goes. And that's not how a community and a society should work. And these American people that back Trump don't understand that he believes that whatever he say goes, regardless of the laws regardless of the regulation. And that is why America stands above some of these countries, especially the Palestinian governments, because regulation protects the people. And the people need to feel protected for you to have a society that functions with laws. And the people, if they don't feel protected, they revolt. Like what happened in Russia, okay? And the problem that we're facing in America, Neville and Rocky, is that these people that support Trump don't understand or don't care to embrace the fact that their freedom that they enjoy, period, all come from the American Constitution and the democracy that they grew up in. I leave it there.
Rocky, banking and insurance, that's a... You ran for lieutenant governor one time. That's a statutory obligation for lieutenant governor, right?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And he is the banking insurance commissioner as a result of that, right?
That's right.
So, and the reason for that is you don't want bank executives or owners of banks to think that they could do whatever they want when people depositing money in banks and got his savings and all that stuff. That don't mean that you could do what you want. There has to be checks and balances to keep your activity under control.
Definitely. And it's also that you, as the entity that regulates, must look at what's happening within the community and see how you can, these banks are really serving the community. There's also a section of all article of Reinvestment Act that these banks are supposed to be reinvesting in the territory. And all of these issues come to front. For example, I know in Banco Popular. Banco Popular has a program in Puerto Rico that allows people to build credit. They don't do it in the VI. They tell you that, we don't have that connection there in the VI. Bunch of nonsense. And the banking insurance commissioner don't look into those things. You go get a loan sometimes, they tell you got a card for you for them kind of craziness. Yeah, I mean, come on, you in the VI, you got to have somebody here to answer all these questions. Otherwise, you got to get somebody else. You know, all people got to feel that identity. I mean, I know we have vice presidents there and so, but a lot of incidents, a lot of times, you got to go through Puerto Rico. This whole process going through. Come on, let's act like we are a branch. You're making a bunch of money off of us, but let's give us that kind of respect. No. And I don't see it happening now.
No. There was a time, Ronnie, when the Virgin Islands was arguably the banking capital. The Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico were the banking capitals of the region, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where we had literally every American bank. Here in the territory, right? Chase, Bank of America. There's another one. Barclays, Citibank. We had a Citibank right there.
Citibank.
Yeah. I mean, look at us. I mean, and now, and if it wasn't for these regional banks headquartered in Puerto Rico, I mean, look at Scotia, which is a Canadian bank that was actually sold to Oriental, right? And they're out of Puerto Rico.
Right.
I mean, something happened and these are the things that we need to fix, because this regression, Ronnie Russell and Rocky, as it relates to our banking portfolio in the Virgin Islands, I'm sorry, but this is 2024. We're heading in the wrong direction, Ronnie.
Yeah, but you got to elect people who understand the dynamic. And I use Rocky as an example. Okay. Over the years, Rocky gained the experience that has made him a senior citizen that is full of knowledge and really should lead this territory in ways that, you know, we need leadership. I'm saying it. Experience leadership is needed in this territory now, when what Neville said, we regressing in sports, we were getting the music, financially, economically. These other islands catching up already. They got two ships going. Yeah. So it's time to say, hold up. We got to elect leadership that got the experience, the knowledge, and most important, got a heart for doing the right thing. Sometimes it's a heart to do the right thing. But people who understand what the right thing is will do it because they have a commitment to this territory. So I saying it straight up, Rocky. You are a experienced and well-crafted leader out of this territory that should be in some leadership position. So, done. I'm done with that.
You know, Rocky, Josh Dudley told me back in the day, Attorney George Dudley, by the way, good morning, sir, that when we had the FSCs, remember we had FSCs back here back in the day, right? And a lot of banking activities to take place with the foreign, what's it? Foreign Service Corporation. That's what FSCs are. And they would park. They would park money here because money would be transferred, would be wired transferred from foreign countries on their way to the mainland and all that stuff. These are the things. And I remember there was the FSC money one time with Wang Lui, right? When Wang Lui were coming out. Right, I was just coming out of college then. That pay a lot of retro money, and I think it was 87, right? Yes. When Farrelly came in, right? So we had a good portfolio, and then something happened, and now you know we're stuck with some regional banks, and we got luckily Bank of St. Croix, United Fidelity, which is a Indiana-based bank, and I think Merchants, right? We got the Merchants Bank over there as well,
right?
And St. Thomas. So it's not that we didn't have that ability in the past to cater towards a lot of folks who reside on the mainland and vacation here or come down here and spend the winter here. We just need to be aggressive, man. We lack in aggression. You know, we just want to go. We going along to get along, and it shouldn't be like that, Rocky.
No, yeah, I agree. The reason I mentioned what I mentioned is because besides aggression, you have to know what you're going after and why you're going after it.
Yes.
You have to have a good understanding
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah,
clearly something was beneficial to the banks back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when we had all these mainland banks here. And we're more, you know, we're more knowledgeable because of the internet, information traveling much more quicker than it did back then. We're heading in the wrong direction, Ronnie. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and yeah. Rocky wanted to say something. Rocky wanted to say something quick, and then come back to you.
Yeah.
No. I was saying that I look at our place as a place where I agree. Neville. We're going backwards. Look at the many things that happened in territory. You know, we were pioneers in a lot of areas. You know, pioneers in naming holidays like Martin Luther King and others. You know, we were trendsetters, but now we just going along and we barely dragging along. You know, we're not really being the innovative, creative. Look at tourism. You know, the largest cruise ship came from the, in the past, they would never leave St. Thomas. They would come to St. Thomas number one, right? They would stop here. I mean, even though they had a reason why they went to other places. But our cruise line, our entity that we see all the other islands come in, they copy, they look at everything we do, and they do it better.
Every itinerary coming out of Miami always included the Virgin Islands on it.
Always.
Specifically St. Thomas. Always.
We're not like that anymore.
No, man.
And a lot of people are not paying attention. We're not paying attention to it. You know, our market, our tourism market is the same thing we had 10 years ago, we have now, or 20 years ago. Come on, we got to change it. We got to come with a new identity.
No, that's an excellent point. You know, Ronnie, could you imagine that there's this, the small cruise ships that used to benefit St. Croix in particular, right? The Sea Goddess and all that stuff. Remember, they used to come and dock in Gallows Bay, right? They are leaving port in Barbados. They got 21-day itineraries with 4 and 5 days of that 21-day at sea. And they're making a stop in the Virgin Islands. Something wrong, man.
Something wrong. We have gone backwards in a lot of areas. And we
don't even want to talk about flights.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's just say that we're trying to encourage the people of our territory, the leaders.
To have a better, to be more knowledgeable, and then to be aggressive.
Exactly. That's all we're doing at the show here now, because we don't make decisions.
No.
But they could listen.
But you know the blame, blame us on we being there for not doing nothing, right?
Yeah, of course.
But you know what? You know why that is, right? The public don't understand it, no. The legislature is in the policy-making business. That's what statutes are, right? Policy. The executive branch is who is supposed to carry out the policy, right?
But
they believe that after we pass the law, we're going to be the one to carry it out, and they don't walk that way.
Yeah,
go ahead, Rocky.
Not only that, all people believe that if you speak about something like this now, when you're there, I ain't do that.
No.
Come on, it's a different time in life. I mean, a lot of things happen in life. Like I told you before, we never know how a pandemic was coming.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, these are things that happen. That's how life is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can only speak to what happened at the time, and you hope to do what you did was right. Sometimes you could be wrong. You could be wrong, too. But I'm saying that we have to see and speak about what's happening now, because we sit here, we love this place, we live here. If you don't live there and care about this place, then you know, you don't really say nothing about it. But when you live here and you see all people suffer, you know we could do better. That's a problem.
I think that's going to be the bow tie for the discussion. Thank you, Rocky. For crystallizing our discussion this morning. I appreciate that. Thank you, Ronnie, for your contributions.
Okay.
Enjoy the Easter, right? And tomorrow, the delegate on from 8 to 8:30, and then Malik Siku from 8:30 to 10. So listen out tomorrow as well, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Ronnie, and thank you, Rocky. By the way, one of my listeners had me to know Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, First Pennsylvania Bank, Barclays, Nova Scotia, VI Community Bank. And he forget, we had a bank named Core States, too, not Territory. Core States, I mean, I think that was part of Pennsylvania. That was First Pennsylvania Bank at one time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we really got no excuse, you know. And when this advance of technology, we really got to be a little bit more in tune. We'll talk Carnival and the Senate race next week, Tuesday, because we're not going to be on Monday. So next Tuesday, the next table talk. Until then, be good and be safe tomorrow. Check it tomorrow at 8 o'clock straight up. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, but it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.